Chapter 15. In the 1 hour and 22 minutes remaining before the Flying Dutchman was ready to jump, I called. First, I should explain that timing. During my discussion with Reed about Strebick coming aboard, the Dutchman's crew was busy, extremely busy. The two platoons of soldiers that were UNDIC's Rapid Reaction Reserve hustled aboard four dropships, and the two gunships that were always kept on alert launched quickly. Getting the rest of the birds warmed up and ready for flight would be tough to do in the time available, so Bonsu and Strebick got creative. Creative is good, unless the enemy is doing it. To save time, Bonsu got his ship moving toward jump altitude, while the remaining dropships and gunships were being loaded and prepared. As soon as a spacecraft checked out as ready for flight, it was sent down the launch rails. There was always the possibility that a hastily prepared ship would suffer a mechanical failure, so the CAG posted a search and rescue bird to take care of stragglers. The bottom line was that the Dutchman reached jump altitude less than 90 minutes after receiving my order. That ship has a fine crew. Nagatha agrees with me. While I waited for her ship to jump, I talked with Dave, Shauna, and of course, Nagatha. A person I did not talk with was Cornpone, Jesse Coulter. I had not known he was injured and taken care of their son on Earth while he recuperated. Why did I not know Jesse got injured? I should have known. I'm a terrible friend. I need to do better. I need to make an effort to keep in touch with the people who are important to me. I will start that effort right after I save the freaking galaxy again. Dave was fine. Shauna was fine. Nagatha was fine. Nagatha was excited to talk with me again and to be going on what she described as one of Skippy's adventures. Nagatha, I winced at her enthusiasm. This will not be fun. It is serious.
Of course it is serious, Joseph, she gushed in her breathy, naughty librarian voice. That is why it will be such a grand adventure, simply grand. I can't wait to get started.
Uh-huh. Hey, I got a question.
I will, as usual, ignore your atrocious grammar. What is the question, dear?
The attack on the Ruhar ammo dump. You don't know anything about that, do you?
A lady would never be involved in anything unseemly, dear.
Oh, sorry.
Fortunately, I have developed a very broad definition of seemly, she giggled.
That is good to hear.
Well, it has been simply delightful to speak with you again. You simply must arrange for me to meet your boys again. Skippy sends me messages about them all the time.
He does?
Yes, dear. He is very honored to be their godfather.
Margaret and I didn't appoint him as...
He did not mean godfather in the conventional sense.
Ah, gotcha.
He is very protective of them, you know.
I did know that.
Therefore, you do not need to worry too much about this potential of a hostile elder AI, dear.
I don't?
No. If another AI were to threaten your boys, Skippy will bitch-slap it into the afterlife.
That's good to know. A chime binged in the background. Nagatha, it sounds like you're getting ready to jump.
I know that, General Bishop. I programmed the jump, after all.
Right. Talk to you later.
TTYL, homeboy.
She ended the call. Homeboy? It was good to hear her happy and eager for an adventure. Maybe a bit too eager. We jumped away from Xandros with Valkyrie leading the Flying Dutchman. The assault carrier normally would need to be attached to a star carrier for flying long distances. The original Jurap, the jump drive of the assault carrier, had been extensively modified to designs provided by Skippy. Still, extensive flights between wormholes would wear out the drive components, requiring lengthy downtime to get all the drive components working properly again. Even Nagatha wasn't able to keep the Dutchman's drive tuned perfectly the way Skippy could, so Skippy did it for her. The ships flew together, never more than 2,000 kilometers apart, so Skippy could easily extend his presence to envelop the Dutchman, and he gave that ship a tune-up after each jump. As a bonus, the work kept the beer can busy and gave him something other than me to complain about. The plan was for us to track the bogey and hopefully identify who was operating that ship. Our initial list of suspects had only two names, the Maxalts and the Rindaloo. Given evidence that the heavy cruiser had been in a battle recently, I was betting the spiders were the culprits. Why? Because there was no need for the kiddies to attack and steal one of their own ships. Why would the spiders try to steal a sentinel that we were activating for their benefit? That is simple.
We hadn't intended to give Dogzilla to the spiders. The thing would be on a long-term loan. At any time, if the spiders pissed us off, Skippy could deactivate the Sentinel, or even instruct it to attack the spiders. Having a third party provide the services of an Elder killing machine was not the same as controlling such a machine. Part of me would be shocked if we learned I was right about the Rindaloo being the guilty party. That revelation would mean the spiders did something, rather than endlessly pondering the issue. Yes, years had gone by since humanity acquired our first Sentinel, but even a century is a short time to the spiders. To act within a single decade is positively hasty. To act in a way that involved enormous risk? Something had to be seriously wrong in Spiderland. Anyway, we would hopefully track the bogey to the territory of whoever was flying that ship, possibly even find the secret base the ship operated from. If we could do that, having two ships allowed me to post the Dutchman as a sensor picket, while Valkyrie did whatever we could do about determining whether another Elder AI was aboard the bogey. And if the answer to that question was an expected but still shocking yes, we would do something to stop that AI. What could we do to stop another Skippy? I have no idea. Hopefully I'll make up some shit when I need to. That's why I wasn't sleeping very well. When I slept at all. Irene Strebick requested a meeting with me, which she did by following the proper procedure of sending the request through the ship's executive officer, the guy she was technically not replacing. Officially, she was commander of Valkyrie's air group. Unofficially, everyone knew her return to our battlecruiser was to provide an experienced backup to Reed. That made her interaction with Gasquet awkward, and that was my fault. Strebick, I rose from the chair in my office, gesturing to her. Come in, sit down. Thank you, sir. In the future, when you want to talk with me, you can schedule it through Skippy, or just call me. I held up my Z-phone. I don't want to step on anyone's toes, sir, any more than I already have, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I do. Sorry about that. You impressed me when you were my XO here. I think we worked well together. Thank you. I enjoyed my time aboard Valkyrie. It was a, there was the briefest hesitation. Learning experience. Every day with the pirates is a learning experience, especially for me. What can I do for you, Strebick?
I would appreciate clarity on my role here, sir.
For you, I created a billet for a CAG.
This battlecruiser doesn't need an air group commander.
I disagree. This ship has been acting as a taxi for Skippy, or showing the flag, or acting as a big stick for diplomatic missions. Only three of the pilots aboard have any kind of combat experience, and none of that is recent. They are all good pilots, highly rated. I want you to bring our pilots up to speed and get them ready for the unexpected. That, she looked a bit less unhappy.
I can do, sir.
Good. I requested Reed to run the entire crew through combat drills. That starts tomorrow. The crew will be tired, but a busy crew is a happy crew.
Happier than when they're not busy, she agreed. Is there anything else?
Yes, you will also have other duties as assigned. Her brief lessening of unhappiness was gone. Everyone hates getting other duties as assigned. It often means doing shit jobs the commander wants someone else to handle. Relax, Strebick, I smiled, hoping my grin would put her at ease. The other duties I have in mind are shadowing Reed. I don't want you to replace Gasquet. I want you as a backup for Reed. You know how to think outside the box. That's a skill that can't be taught or measured. Get up to speed on Valkyrie systems. I want you to be fully ready to fly and fight the ship if necessary.
In addition to acting as CAG?
Yes.
A busy crew is a happy crew.
She shrugged, but there was relief on her face.
Exactly.
Strebick, I'm going to make it simple. You're here because I don't know what type of threat we're up against this time. I need advice and support from people who have been in the shit before. That's Reed, Frey, and now you. I told Reed her job is to keep me from doing something reckless. Frey's job is to make sure I am reckless when I need to be.
And me, sir?
Your job is to help me understand the difference. That drew a genuine smile from her.
I believe General Perkins would be better suited to that role, sir.
Ha! No. If I want advice on how to do sketchy shit, I'll ask her. Besides, a pair of two stars aboard a ship is two stars too many. Are you clear on your role, Strebick?
Yes, sir. About the pilot training. I would like to get started right away.
I'd prefer you started yesterday, but right away is good enough.
There is a precision flying drill we used to run aboard the Dutchman. It's a rather unique exercise. You have complete control of the training schedule and agenda. In that case, I saw you recently requalified to fly the Panther. For a moment, I panicked. When I talked all that shit about wanting the ship's pilots to sharpen their skills, I didn't include myself. Just for basic flying maneuvers. My rating for combat flight expired years ago. You allowed your combat rating to lapse during peacetime. That's over now. Yes. I've allowed you to the schedule to ensure you get time in a simulator before you move on to stick time in a real bird. That would be... I could feel the sickly smile stretching my face. Great. Strebik scheduled me for simulator time after lunch that same day. She had to bump a real pilot off their time. That didn't make me happy. But I had given her authority over all issues related to pilots, so I couldn't protest without undermining her. My schedule was free because my entire role aboard Valkyrie was other duties as assigned, and I hadn't assigned myself to do anything that day. Darn it. Ah, hell. I loved playing around in the simulator. Often I crashed and burned, but that was the point. Flight simulators were for trying extreme maneuvers and scenarios that were too dangerous to do in a real bird. If you never failed in a simulator, you weren't pushing your limits. My hour in the Panther simulator had me soaked with sweat and hungry since I'd skipped lunch. There was a half-hour break before my next session. I went to the galley to get a quick snack. Huh. That was unusual. By 1400, the galley should be busy with the crew getting ready to serve dinner. Instead, the place was empty. There were mid-watch rations, what we called mid-rats, to feed people who couldn't eat at normal times. Since I was going back into a simulator that might twist my stomach into knots, I made a peanut butter sandwich with not a lot of peanut butter. Just in case, I ate a couple of oatmeal raisin cookies. Hey, Skippy, where is everyone? Joe, Colonel Reed made me promise not to tell you. Uh-huh. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? You will think it's great. Cool. Can you give me a hint? It's a secret, dum-dum. Out in the passageway, there were a normal number of people walking to wherever they were going. The ship wasn't conducting any drills, and I didn't notice any signs of unusual activity, except the people I saw had grins that I interpreted as them knowing something I didn't. Another weird thing was all the flight simulators were empty. That's not true. What I meant is the simulators were all booked, but not by pilots. Off-duty crew were taking advantage of the rare simulator availability by pretending to fly. It was harmless fun. The amateur pilots couldn't hurt anything other than their egos. Strapping into the simulator again, I called the control booth. Lieutenant Kolchak, I'm ready to begin. Beginning startup sequence now, sir. Do you know where all the pilots have gone? I wouldn't know about that, sir. Did Reed order you to say that? Not that you know of, sir. Okay, I laughed. It would be a dick move for me to pull rank on the guy. Let's do this. Joe, Skippy called me after I got out of the simulator. Go take a shower and get out of that flight suit. Okay. Why? First, if you had any idea what you monkeys smell like, you would shower every 10 minutes. And wrap yourselves in plastic bags. Yuck. Lifting my arm, I sniffed myself. He had a point. A shower was my plan anyway. Hey, Margaret likes my manly scent. Ugh, actually, she does. I had been joking. She does? Yes. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but before you left, she took several of your shirts out of the laundry basket to sleep in. For some reason, she finds her husband's scent to be comforting. I like her scent, too. Can we please drop the subject before I hurl? That would be great, yes. Why are you so in a rush? I asked while I took off my helmet and placed it in a locker to be cleaned and serviced. For me to shower. You are requested, I think the correct term is invited, to Docking Bay Alpha 2 at 1700 hours. What's the occasion? Colonel Strebik will be conducting a precision flight demonstration. Aha, so that's where all the pilots are. Is this why the galley is empty? That is still a secret, knucklehead. In the military, it is usually true that if you're not early for an event, you're late. That is not true when you are a general officer and you're invited to an event by people below you in the chain of command.
In that case, you show up right on time so people don't have to worry about you arriving before they're ready. That's why I went to my cabin, showered, and hung around in my underwear catching up on paperwork while I waited. 15 minutes before the appointed time, I put on a fresh field uniform and strolled out the door. The tantalizing smell tickled my nose before I reached the inner door to Bay Alpha 2. Charcoal grills. Reed had set up charcoal grills in the cavernous bay, which was filled with people and not dropships. That was good. The air filters had to be working at full capacity to deal with the smoke from 3 charcoal grills.
Welcome to the party, sir.
Thank you, Fireball. What's the occasion?
We never celebrated the special mission group being stood up again, so we're having real backyard cheeseburgers.
Reed? I lowered my voice. If I could, I would offer you a field promotion to Brigadier right now. She laughed.
Thank you, sir, but I would politely refuse. Every promotion I've gotten takes me closer to administrative duties and further from flying.
I hear that. What is this I heard about a precision flying demonstration?
That's Strebik's idea.
Will we watch the demonstration before or after dinner?
Before and during, sir,
she answered with a twinkle in her eyes.
We can't eat until, well, you'll see.
She waved me over to a holographic display set up against the forward bulkhead of the bay. The display showed icons for 8 dropships strung out in a line behind Valkyrie's flight path, with the lead Panther designated Chips 1. There was no explanation for why Strebik had selected Chips for the exercise squadron. The dropships were going significantly slower than our battlecruiser. They were falling behind fast. A clock counted down, and the lead bird accelerated, gently at first, then pouring it on hard. Strebik and her crew were sustaining a steady 3 gravities of acceleration and keeping the thrust there. They were catching up to us rapidly, gaining speed, and would be racing past the ship's port side. Was that the demonstration? If so, why is it necessary for preparing a cookout? Interesting. The Panther cut acceleration briefly, flipped end over end, and burned at 3 Gs to slow down, coming to a stop relative to Valkyrie exactly opposite the open door to Bay Alpha 1. That bay was smaller, large enough to hold only a single dropship. Strebik popped thrusters to swing her craft in through the doorway and set down neatly in the cradle. Okay, I nodded. That was some fancy flying. She cut thrust exactly when she matched our speed, exactly in position.
That's not all, sir.
Reed had a grin like that cat in Alice in Wonderland. The outer doors snapped closed, and the bay was rapidly pressurized, robotic cables snaking up to cover the Panther's thruster ports so toxic fumes didn't contaminate the air. Someone wanted to get out of that dropship in a hurry. That was a drill we practiced once a month when I was captain of the ship for evacuating injured personnel from an incoming dropship. Again, I had the question, why did I have to wait for dinner? Had Strebik used the high-gravity maneuver to shake up a can of soda so it would explode in my face? Reed pressed a button, and the door that connected the bays slid open. The Panther's side door was already open. A ramp extended to the deck. I sniffed the air. French fries? There was no mistaking that scent. I knew it well.
Fireball, what the— You'll see, sir. She—
Strebik appeared in the Panther's doorway holding a paper sack with dark grease stains. She also had a huge grin on her face.
Someone requested perfect French fries?
You? I stared at her. You made fries during your maneuver?
Yes, sir.
She held out the bag.
Eat them while they're hot.
Operating a fryer aboard a dropship has gotta be against some regulation.
It's a good thing we are 4,000 light years from Earth.
She shook the bag.
The fryer is in a sealed container. It's safe.
I took a fry. It was amazing. You need to explain this.
At 3 gravities, the heat transfer between the fry oil and the potato maximizes the crust on the outside of a fry, she explained. We modified the fryers so the potato strips constantly turn over. There is no bottom to get soggy as water is forced out of the fry.
That is your precision flying drill? She nodded.
It is highly effective, sir. If a pilot screws up and has to wave off to go around, the fries are delivered late and are cold. The entire crew is watching and hungry.
Plus, she added,
it's a lot more fun than the usual boring flight drills. That bag, I dipped a hand in to get more of the incredibly crispy fries, isn't enough for everyone. She pointed back over her shoulder where another pilot was coming through the door holding two greasy bags. There is enough in our fryer for two more bags on 7 more dropships. If any of the pilots miss their marks, someone gets disappointment instead of delicious fries. No pressure on your pilots, then. Her expression turned serious. If a pilot can't handle the pressure of making fries, I don't want them flying a combat mission.
Good point.
As a senior officer, it is important for me to show appreciation for the extraordinary efforts of the people under my command. That is why I ate 3 cheeseburgers, so do not listen to any spurious rumors about me. I was also pleased to see that Valkyrie still has a crack set of pilots. All of them hit their marks within the time limits set by Strebik, and everyone had fun doing something they hadn't done 100 times before. While Valkyrie did not actually need an air group commander, I was glad she was with us.